It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. Man, the Mets haters are out again. They love when they see bad Mets news now that Juan Soto has moved from the Yankees to the Mets. The Yankee fan is just laughing at the Mets. Oh, looks like you got another injury in your rotation. Ooh, I guess David Stearns maybe has to go out there and actually pay a pitcher now because Sean Manaea probably, most likely, starting the season on the IL with an oblique strain. You add that to the Frankie Montas news, and it's a little bit of a rough start news-wise for a Mets rotation. But, hey, thank God the baseball season is 2 years long, and you don't have to worry about these things that you're worried about in February. Generally, you don't have to worry about them when it's an oblique strain, when there's no structural damage in there. All right, maybe he's back in middle April, May, worst-case scenario. It's a long season. The Mets are going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. So haters, back up. Worry about your own Giancarlo Stanton mess, because I don't even know what the hell's going on with him. Comes back to New York. He's got two elbows, and they say it's a personal thing. Who knows? We got that. Plenty more. I know you're jacked up for your Islanders-Rangers matchup tonight as well. We were talking about that before the show. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Oh, the microphone. Hello.
Good morning, Jay. The regular season doesn't start until March 27th.
That's right.
I mean, we're a month away from it. That's so right. I'm sure there are going to be more injuries, and there are going to be more struggles. There will be a little bit more adversity. David Stearns will figure it out. The Mets will figure it out. And away we go. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is going to – it happens every year. They carry like 30 pitchers into spring training for a reason. This is why – you know, the other thing, too, is I wonder what these guys do in the offseason. I mean, that really makes me wonder what they do in the offseason, how they work out. And I'm sure there are a number of guys – that either go play winter ball,
yeah,
or you know really do work out quite a bit, and they work on their hitting, they work on their maybe they work on some of their fielding, and for pitchers, I would think you know maybe you shut it down for about a month, and then you go through a throwing program so you can ramp up for spring training, and you know this is not an injury in terms of the elbow, this is an oblique injury, so that could happen to any one of these players, and normally I would say depending on how severe it is. If it's a minor oblique injury, then you're probably looking at about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they said there's no rib cage situation in there. Carlos Mendoza basically said that it's all muscular. So even though he's not going to start the season on the active roster, he'll be on the IL. It's just they want to take time with him and ramp him up. I think it's just because it's starting so early in spring training, he's not going to be able to throw. And then he's got to get himself back in shape and ready to pitch. But, you know, we will most likely, I mean, I'll knock on wood here, but most likely, come, I don't know, Memorial Day weekend, we're not going to be thinking about this at all. And certainly not going to be thinking about it in October. He should be healthy. He should come back. He should have a really good year. I'm glad that they brought him back. I guess you'd be a little bit concerned. He threw the most innings in his career last year. Now he's coming back here, but he's going to be all right. But I mean, the reason why I think that the Yankee fan who's back with that like pure Mets hatred right now after the Soto thing, I think the reason why they like this is because David Stearns doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the rotation. And the Yankees do have a better rotation on paper than the Mets do. So when you see now two injuries like this, you know, they could poke at the weak spot. Like, oh, you little boy genius, man, he's trying this again, huh? Not really working. You know, the Yankee fans are doing the Boomer, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Here you go. Montas is hurt. Okay. Is hurt.
Well, maybe they were right in some respect, but we're right also because Giancarlo Stanton's hurt again.
Yeah, weird.
I mean, like, and I don't want to make fun of anybody, especially somebody that's been dealing with something like tennis elbow in both elbows, which is strange, especially the way he is built. And, you know, whatever his personal issues are there, he's got to take care of them. And they're going to allow him to do that, which is the correct thing to do, depending on how significant it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and that it, you know, requires his attention for a couple of days and then hopefully he'll get back. But I, you know, again, it's a month until the season starts, and to get wrapped up into any of this stuff in like, if you told me Juan Soto, you know, broke an ankle or something and was going to miss, you know, 3 months of the season, then I'd say, yeah, I'm worried. But that's not the case. And you know what I would say? The same thing with Giancarlo Stanton. I would think that, you know, he will I don't know, maybe he'll miss the first, I guess, couple weeks of the season, I think. But they're expecting him to fight through this just like he had to fight through it last year.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, though, the news with that yesterday, because at first it was he's going to go back and see Dr. Ahmad, who is a Yankees doctor and surgeon, who is well-renowned and respected, of course. And then Aaron Boone came out and said that he's going back to New York because of personal reasons.
Well, maybe he could be doing both.
Yeah, it could be a little double dip.
I would think if you want to go see the doctor, this is the doctor go see, get some imaging on it and get a little bit clearer answer as to what maybe he's dealing with, if it's something more than just tennis elbow. And then number two, he could also take care of his personal business, whatever that may be.
Yeah, now this is something, I know you love these numbers and stuff.
Yeah, bring me the numbers. I want to hear the numbers.
You love these numbers.
Yes.
You know, so you get a lot of, both on both sides, Met and Yankee fans are like, Yankee fans say, go out and get a third baseman. Who cares about the money? You know, you got to fill that hole. Now maybe the Mets fan's going to say, pull the trigger on a trade for a starting pitcher. You got two injuries there. You got to add to the staff.
Don't the Mets fans want Dylan Cease?
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy from
San Diego.
San Diego,
yes.
That you'd have to trade for, yes. So this, people say no salary cap in baseball, which is technically true. But this competitive balance tax is essentially
the Cohen tax.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure.
Really should be the Dodgers tax.
Yeah, it really should be at this point. But the Mets payroll right now.
Okay.
$315 million, right?
God bless our owner.
So the competitive balance tax this year, $241
million. Yeah, so look at how much money they're spending.
Right, so the penalties now, though, you go $60 million or more over. And is this $60 million or more? It's $241 million. Yeah. $315 million. Yeah. $60 million or more.
Yeah.
There's a 60% surcharge.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see another level of that on this. This is from MLB.com. All right. I don't see another level past that. So that says to me, unless I'm missing something, and this is the official Major League Baseball website, that if they add to the payroll, you're not going to get another level of charge.
No, but you're still going to get charged.
You're still getting charged.
Yeah, on the overall number, yeah, that you're over.
But it
so
goes
you're
from.
You're still increasing that.
You're increasing that, but here's the thing. You're not.
I think like teams like the Pirates and Tampa Bay Rays are very happy about that.
Yes.
Keep spending.
But what the point is that 20 to 40 million over, 12% surcharge, 40 to 60 million, 42.5%, 60 million or more, 60%. So it's not going up another level. You're just getting charged at 60% on a higher number if you bring in somebody else. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right? All right. But here, let me just see if I can look at this on Spot Track.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Dodgers right now, their tax payroll, their current tax payroll right now, what the Dodgers are going to have to spend is $392,535,656. Almost $400 million.
Hey, Boomer, did you know that they've got a consortium worth $40 billion?
Yeah, I know. The New York Mets are second on this list with 25 players. The Dodgers have 27 players. The Mets have 25 players. Their tax payroll is $321,456,449. And then the next one would be the Phillies at $298.
And where are the Yankees?
The Yankees are fourth. They have it a tax payroll current right now, $293,886,666.
All right, so the math here, let me just see. They haven't gone over $60 million then, right? Because it's $241 million. Yeah, they haven't gone over that.
Right, and right now the cap space for the Dodgers is minus $151 million. For the New York Mets, minus $80 million. For the Phillies, minus $57 million, meaning this is what it would take to get to like $60 million, right?
Yeah, so
the Yankees are minus $52 million.
So the Yankees don't want to get to that next threshold, and that's why they were talking about trading Marcus Stroman being a thing they had to do.
He's making $18.5 million.
Yeah, sure. Prior to bringing in a third baseman. But for the Mets, they're already past the highest surcharge. It's just a matter of how much more they would add.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, they could. Both teams could add if they wanted to. I mean, it's not like there's anything stopping them other than money. That's it. So if the Yankees wanted to add a third baseman, you know, you don't come back after losing a World Series and being embarrassed.
So you're talking about Nolan Arenado is really talking about.
Yes, him for sure. That's definitely one. I know Luis Arraez is another guy that could potentially be on the block. Guy always hits. He's always winning batting titles. Can't do much more, but he always gets on base.
I mean, the point is that you can find a guy that can play the field, but he can't hit. Then you can find a guy that can hit that can't play the field. Yeah. Then you find a guy that can do both. Now, that's supposedly Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, but he's older now for sure.
Right.
He's not the same guy. But he'd be a tremendous upgrade of what they've got over there. But I don't think either one of these teams are going to do anything prior to the regular season. I think they're going to play it out. See what happens. See who gets healthy. We got the trade deadline. And then we'll see where we're at. Because both teams should be good enough to be towards the top of their division, even with these injuries they're dealing with.
Yeah, I want to say in the NBA and the NHL, we always say about 30 games to really give you a sense of what you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get past Thanksgiving and you're getting into around Christmas time. You kind of know what you have and whether or not you have to improve or whether or not the season's going awry and you'll have to start trading players and start looking at the draft next year. You know, in baseball, what would you say, 65, 70 games?
I don't even know that. I'm not even sure. I mean, you could make a case with some of these teams that come on at the end and collapse and all of that. I don't know. I mean, I would say maybe over 100 sometimes.
Some of these teams get off the great starts and then they falter down the end. You know, yeah. I mean, then there are those teams that kind of hover around 500 and then take off like late August, September.
Was it you that was giving me those whole stats about when, like, the point in the regular seasons?
That was me. Yeah, it was me.
But didn't you say baseball was like 150 games or something?
Yeah, because they added the wild card.
Okay. So, but still,
back in the day before the wild card was done, you know, you knew by August who the hell was making the playoffs.
Yeah, but now it's like 150 games. You have an idea who's making the playoffs.
Yes, I was. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, there was a,
and the NFL obviously was. You could figure it out the soonest out of all of them, the earliest rather.
Yeah, but football took the longest because the wild card.
Okay,
and yes.
But, I mean, there's your answer right there. So it has to be over 100 games to figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, everybody's got those. Well, we'll see it Memorial Day. We'll see it the July. We'll see it the All-Star break. We'll see it the trade deadline.
Yes.
We'll take a look at the end of August, end of September, what we're looking at.
Let me see. Gunnar was sending this to me. He was basically downloading this 8-page paper, you know, done by some nerds.
Mm.
NARPs and nerds. And it says the competitive balance relative to the length of season is a key driver in the top-bottom competitiveness. MLB, NHL are the most competitive in aggregate, while the NFL's short season is what makes it competitive. The NBA's best team have the best shot at being the best at the end because of the large number of games gives them more opportunities to win. And they also have a bigger talent divide.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, that in terms of the Knicks and the Celtics and the best teams going in general, the ones who make it to the finals.
You have the top-tier teams. You have the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Cavs. And then the Knicks are in the second tier. I don't care what anybody says, it is. And there is a lot of time left to go, and a lot of things can happen between now and May. But, you know, if things stay the same, the Knicks are nowhere in the same class as those three teams.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody's saying differently at this point.
Unless somebody gets injured. That's basically, that would be the equalizer. The Knicks right now have played 7 times against the top 3 teams in the NBA and have literally gotten wiped out every time that they have played them.
Yep.
Wiped out.
0-7 and most of them not particularly close.
Their shooting goes haywire. Their turnovers go up. They play helter-skelter and they forget to play defense. I don't know what else to tell you. The proof is in the performance, as we often say here.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you on this one, man.
You know, I think I heard Evan talking about it yesterday, about trying to talk Knicks fans off ledges. I'm not trying to talk anybody off ledges. I'm just talking about facts and reality. And facts and reality tell me what I see is a team that right now cannot even come close to competing against those top 3. And by the way, this is also a team that has a hiccup every now and again against a bad team.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, most NBA teams have that. You know, that's what Jerry was saying, too, yesterday when you guys were talking about it. like sometimes like you see the Celtics drop a game here or there to a bad team or whatever, but when it comes to the Knicks and to the Cavs, they kill them.
Because both of those teams, like I always say about playing at the Garden against the Rangers, if you're a former Ranger player or you are a current Ranger player and you are playing at the Garden, you are getting everybody's best shot at the Garden almost all the time. And that's why like nondescript goalies go in there and they play their ass off. But it's just part of the process of playing for the Rangers and playing in the Garden. It's great to wear the sweater. It's great to play for the organization. But you better butt your chin strap because you're going to get everybody's best shot.
Most of the time.
Yeah,
yes,
most of the time that's the way it works. Like tonight, like the Islanders are going to want to give the Rangers the best shot. If you told me the Islanders won 6-3 tonight, I would not be shocked.
Really? No confidence here, huh?
No, I don't think either fan base has confidence in their team right now, especially the way that both teams have been playing.
6-3, huh? Now you've been nailing these scores. You had the 3-2 overtime for the Four Nations final. So now I wonder if you could bet on correct score on FanDuel Sports. I'm going to go 6-3 Islanders.
What did it say on Poly Market? Now that you're all into that, did you go back into that yesterday?
I did not. I kept my word.
All right.
I said I'm going to shut this thing off and I'm not going to go back to it. Not healthy. Not healthy. Because it's all these things I got strong takes on, you know?
Yes, I know you do.
And I'm like, I can't get involved in this.
And one other thing that did come out yesterday, and you know, and I felt like we've been talking about this, that Matthew Stafford's going to want $50 million a year. Okay, so now you got to ask yourself, and he wants $50 million. I don't blame him. If he can get it, somebody will probably give it to him. I mean, if you're the Giants, are you willing to give him the contract that, say, Atlanta gave Kirk Cousins, but it's going to be even more money than what Kirk Cousins got from Atlanta.
Yep.
And look at the situation that Atlanta is in right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, they got it's a good problem to have because it looks like they found a young quarterback in the draft that they can count on. However, you know, they're going to have to deal with the Kirk Cousins thing. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on a day we're going to see some 50s here in the tri-state area, which is some great news with this winter we have had. Jerry Recco is with us now to kick us off with an update. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, we are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I'll get back to Sean Mania in a minute. But your St. John's moved up three, and Maryland moved up four spots to 16.
Yes, they did.
So St. John's moves up three spots from 10 to 7 in the country. You had some of these trailers from the Vice Sports docuseries, Patino, come out yesterday, so I'll give you a couple from it because I can't imagine if you hear this, you're not fired up if you're a St. John's fan. The first 20 seconds of Rick Pitino upset with his team at halftime of one of these games.
Where is your f***ing toughness? Where have you guys been raised that you're so weak mentally that you just f***ing give up when something doesn't go right for you? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the f***ing game of life, not the game of basketball. You don't f***ing get down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. Your whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, and we had him on last week, and I did ask him about that particular rant, and he knows that these guys can handle it. You know, he says not every team can, but he knew that this is the way he coaches, and these guys would handle it. And if they didn't, then they weren't going to be the guys that he thought that they were. So, I mean, it's when you're Rick Pitino. You don't want to change the way you are because what you've been doing has been working your whole life.
And I would say that Danny Hurley feels opposite about his team.
Yes.
Some of the comments he has said. Mm-hmm. So it's like that they're doing the same thing, but they're obviously dealing with different personalities.
And then there's
God forbid you hurt somebody's feelings when they play like crap.
Yeah, especially now they're getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to. Rick Pitino's not a coddle guy.
No, not a coddle guy.
No.
Here's Talik Brown, one of their assistant coaches. So this is post-game in the locker room after a win, but the guys are kind of bickering about something that happened late in the game, and Brown seems dumbfounded that they were kind of arguing amongst themselves after they just won a game.
Shut the f*** up, man. What the f*** is wrong with y'all, man? All y'all motherfuckers. I'm tired of all y'all motherfuckers. Shut the f*** up. What the f*** is wrong with y'all? We here for one f***ing goal, that's to win. We all here for one another. We don't got time for that bullshit.
Well, 28 games in, and they're 24-4. They've lost four games.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of screaming and yelling going on.
Yeah. Well, if you see things you don't like, you address them, and that's what they've done.
Do you remember in the beginning of the season where they're there in the Bahamas and they lost on two buzzer beaters?
I do.
Yeah, so they're four losses by a combined 7 points. So this is a real deal.
It's basketball a good team, man. Really
no doubt.
Good team, yeah.
And they will be at Butler tomorrow. I think it's a late game. I think it's a 9 or 9:30 tomorrow night at Butler. Rutgers freshman Dylan Harper named the Naismith National Player of the Week. That's kind of cool. He had 34 points at Washington, then 25 and 9 assists Sunday night against USC. Rutgers at Michigan on Thursday
Who's
night.
Who's better, Dylan Harper or Derek Queen from Maryland?
Different. Much different players.
Okay.
Harper's a point guard, and Queen is a big man.
So Kevin Willard, the head coach of the University of Maryland Terrapins, had a very unique quote about Derek Queen.
Yes.
He said if he were European and white, he would be the first overall draft pick in the NBA draft upcoming. Do you see that? I mean, like, I think he's a really good – I mean, he's one of the better players we've had in a long time.
I think in 1985 – I don't know. I only saw him one game, and he was dominant on the interior.
Yes.
I don't know that will translate in the NBA.
Yeah, but I don't
I'm
know.
Not
Kevin
sure.
Willard feels like very strong.
No, he's a great
player. He is. He's got to be all Big Ten player.
I was incredibly impressed watching him.
Yeah,
for
his
sure.
footwork is amazing.
Yes, very good. Just one more from college basketball. Northern Arizona plays Northern Colorado later this week. Why would I mention that? Well, it's tied to Chris Russo. He had an odd way of describing the area, if you will. This was on Sirius XM.
My kid's got a big basketball game at Northern Arizona, so I probably want to watch that. But yes, I have a kid who's a coach there at Northern Arizona.
Coaches at Northern Arizona?
In Flagstaff. I was just there for the weekend.
So they've got elevation going for them.
7,200 square feet. And they won Saturday. Thank God he was in a better mood.
And that's way up there, 7,200 square feet in the air. I mean, you start losing oxygen, you get 7,200 square feet up in the air. You know, sometimes people deal with that altitude sickness when they're that many square feet up there. There's planes flying above your head, about 3 or 4 square feet above your head. So you got to pay attention to that, the square footage.
Oh, funny. I believe that game, by the way, the one I mentioned, not the one he was talking about, is not until Saturday. Go figure. The Nets go to Washington and lose to the Wizards 107-99. They get outscored 22-12 in the fourth. 5 seconds from Jordy Fernandez, their head coach.
We'd lost our composure and we were not good, you know, like whatever happened with Athlete.
Yeah, all of it. They were just not good in the fourth quarter. Jordan Poole at 26. T-Wolves and the Thunder in overtime. How about this? Minnesota outscores Oklahoma City 41-19 in the fourth on the road to force the OT, and they wind up winning the game.
Looking to get it, and it comes to SGA. He's got it out by midcourt against Anthony Edwards. He'll stop. He'll pop. He'll fire on the three. It's off the iron, no. Rebound tapped out. The horn will sound. The ball game is over. The Wolves have done it. They've rallied from 25 down in the third quarter to tie the biggest comeback in franchise history.
How about that? For the 25 down, and you got the big block there, Anthony Edwards on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the end.
Look at how high Anthony Edwards is in the air.
It's called they got insane. Hops, as they say. Exactly right. Nuggets beat the Pacers 125-116. Notable as Nikola Jokic had a career-high 19 assists in that game. Lakers-Mavericks tonight in Los Angeles. First game for Luka Doncic against his former team. And one other one from basketball of the high school hoops variety. There's a school called Lyons Township High School. I believe it's in Illinois. They had not beaten their rival, Hillsdale Central, in 25 tries until last night.
Sloan brings it up. 16 seconds. Oh, three-pointer. Go through. Central got to miss. Gutierrez nearly rips it. Dell now going to take it. Orozco, three-pointer. Go through. Gutierrez. Carroll got to miss. 2 seconds.
Shot
is up.
I love those calls, man.
Isn't that fun?
That was great.
So I don't know.
Those two thuds, though, prior to that, sound like you're playing with a medicine ball.
I know.
It puts up a three. Boom.
He missed it.
Oh, man. Yeah, he did. All right, we get to the baseball now. And, yeah, the Sean Manaea stuff. Oblique injury, likely to start the season on the injured list, as we know. This was Carlos Mendoza, though, saying it's not worst-case scenario.
The good news is he's not... the tendon is not involved, the rib cage is not involved, so it's just straight muscle. So it's going to be shut down for a couple of weeks.
And likely to miss the start of the season.
I was looking at the injury list for Major League Baseball just to see, you know, in conjunction with the Yankees and the Mets, who's injured, who's what's going on. I mean, you look around the league, there are, I mean, there's got to be at least 20 guys that are on the 68-day DL. Around the league. And there's got to be guys that are out for the whole season. There are Tommy Johns all over the place.
Yeah.
It is incredible. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is out already with a knee and toe problem. I mean, every team has at least, it looks like every team, I would say the Miami Marlins have only five guys on their injury.
Only five.
Only five.
I mean, it's what? They've been there for like 3 days?
The Twins have three, and the Mets. The Mets have like 15 guys on.
Yeah. I mean, it's just confounded. I don't understand why this happens to baseball players.
When I think baseball players, I think hockey players.
I mean, it is it's incredible.
Man, it's ridiculous.
It really is incredible.
Here was Sean Manaea when he realized something was up.
You know, I've been throwing, been pitching, and, you know, recovery hasn't really been the greatest in between. And so that was kind of, you know, why we, said something.
Oh, they said it, and so we'll see in April. And Pete Alonso did have an RBI double yesterday in their spring game against the Cardinals. Just quickly, you guys mentioned Stanton, obviously, elbow issues, returning to New York, but also returning for a personal reason, is what Aaron Boone said, and would not go further than that. I tried Googling Stanton to see if I could find some audio from him, and the name that kept coming up was Fabia Gonzalez Stanton. She's a Spanish volleyball player who likes the string bikini.
I was going to say,
oh my God,
Spanish volleyball player. That's going to be an attractive person.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Multiple reports say Matthew Stafford seeking at least $50 million per year in his next contract. You got the Giants, Steelers, Browns, Raiders all said to be interested. You got the combine this week. Stephen Jones coming off, it looked like an elevator in a little lobby, talking with reporters about the Cowboys' offseason plan, and that is to be kind of aggressive, but also be strategic. And then you had Georgia head coach Kirby Smart speaking at this Nike Coach of the Year clinic. Now, I don't know exactly the context of it, other than there was a photograph posted that had Cam Newton in it, Joe Burrow in it, and Johnny Manziel. There might have been another player, I'm not sure, but I know those three for sure. And he was asked what these players have in common.
They're definitely quarterbacks. That's the most elementary thing. Heisman, quarterbacks, champions. He ain't champion. Champion of what? Champion of fireball.
Oh, wow. Now, there was the documentary that showed how much Johnny Manziel got into drinking, but, like, damn.
I mean, that is some intense criticism there. But, hey, I mean, he opened himself up to that. That type of stuff where a guy is that talented and then kind of throws it away because he was being a knucklehead, pisses off guys like Kirby Smart more than anything.
Probably true, yeah. On the Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley podcast, Jason Kelsey was their guest. Here, Kelsey is relaying a story where he could not wait to golf with Charles once that they were invited because they loved Charles Barkley growing up, as he will tell you here.
Pinnacle of things I've ever wanted to achieve in meeting a sports figure. But Chuck was like the biggest star in our household, so much so that my brother told all of our neighbors his name was Charles. Like, he wanted to be Charles Barkley so bad.
And then Ernie says, well, that's interesting because, you know, the Barkley story, and here's Barkley telling the story of wanting to be called Travis, not for Kelsey, of course.
I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, I want to change, because Travis was like the stud in town.
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, I want to change my name to Travis. She says, why? Is this because he's the best athlete in our city? I want to change my name and I'll be a much better player. And my mom's like, you're the biggest damn idiot in the world. You're named after your grandfather. I'm not changing your name. And I said, yeah, that's the perfect example. He's a nobody.
That's kind of rough, isn't it?
It is kind of rough.
Holy cow. So there you have it. That was the Barkley and Ernie Johnson podcast. NHL tonight, you've got the Rangers and Islanders facing off at UBS Arena. The Rangers recalling Brennan Othman from Hartford, and former MSG announcer Al Troutwig passed away. He was just 68 years old.
So, I mean, that guy was on TV calling local sports and being around since the day I put the television on when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So 68, too young, obviously, this day and age, and it's unfortunate. But he's a voice, a name, a face that everybody in the tri-state area could pick out of a lineup immediately and then have a memory associated with him.
And so, as I looked it up, the story that was going around yesterday is true, that the home that him and his wife had was the home that was used to meet the parents.
The indoor pool scene.
Yes, where he smashes the volleyball off the sister-in-law's face.
Yes.
How about that?
That's a fun fact, huh?
That is a fun fact. And it was written about 2 years ago, actually. I guess no one ever saw it, but it's come up because of his passing now.
You know, my Victor Talbots, who furnished clothing for me for the NFL Today.
Yeah.
They used Victor Talbots as well.
Oh, in that particular movie
yes.
There's just a lot of Long Island, New York connections.
Oh,
there,
yes, yeah.
Very nice.
Gaylord Fokker.
That's exactly right.
Yes, yes, it's the name of the guy, the Ben Stiller character. That is correct.
Coming up next hour, I will have some sound. So some audio has come out. You got the new Netflix Full Swing coming out?
Yes.
So I got a couple of clips from
the
that.
The trailer with the Scotty Scheffler arrest is unbelievable.
I got a couple of things from that, and then there's some other things I need to cut up. I got Bill Belichick next hour as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I'm a little bit upset with NASA, and I'm happy with the results. But, I mean, they, within a week, went all the way up from a 1 in 32 chance of that asteroid hitting us to now a 0% chance of that asteroid hitting us. And I'm thinking it was a little bit too early then to tell us about the 3%, wasn't it?
So
if there was a chance it could go to zero in less than a week. So could it go back up again?
I don't know. What does Polymarket say?
You know, it didn't have any asteroid
it
stuff.
Didn't, oh, wow.
It did not, because I think it's so far in, it's 12 years ahead. I went through every category.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But because it's 12 years, it's like no one's going to hold on, or I keep saying 12. It's 7 years. No one's going to hold on to your money for 7 years. Like if it's 1 year and you want to say you put like a future bet in for 1 year, that's fine. But 7 years, no one's going to do that.
Hmm. But if it hits and you bet for it to hit, who are you collecting from?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, this is an asteroid that's not going to be a planet killer.
No.
So you'd be someone to come back from.
It could exterminate you. I mean, you never know.
No, because I don't think I'm going to be in that area that it said it was going to hit.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be, it didn't say it was hitting Suffolk County.
Yeah, but you don't know where you're going to be in 7 years.
Well, I'm certainly not going to be in the Indian Ocean. Tell you that much.
You never know. You could be on a cruise. Knowing you, could be on a cruise. And you know,
I've never been on a cruise, nor will I never go. I will not go on a cruise.
Well, you're not a cruise guy.
I'm not a cruise guy. I know people love it. I'm not a cruise guy.
You know, they have mini golf on cruises.
Mini golf? I'm not a mini golfer. What am I, 11?
I'm sure these cruise ships now do have simulators.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, but that, okay. You know what? They also have germs. They are every,
and lots of them.
You come off of those things and you're healthy. It's a miracle. I mean, that's what I told Gina. She went up on I took a ferry and then stayed in a hotel that had an indoor pool that the kids wanted to jump in.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then went to an aquarium. I mean, there was no way she was coming back healthy. In February?
And by the way, she's okay.
No, she's in the hospital right now, actually. Oh. Yeah, I didn't want to bring that. No, of course she's fine.
Okay.
She's sick for a couple days. She's fine. It's like everybody else in the world in the winter. They get sick and then they're fine in a couple days if they're a young person.
She had the norovirus.
I think so. I don't know. I think so. It wasn't as violent as the previous neuroviruses.
Okay.
But is that a word, Eddie? Viruses?
I think it's virus. Just
neurovirus? Previous neurovirus? But yeah, there was some puking. There was some of that. Some Lysol was used. I still have not gone in that room or in that bathroom since, even though she has cleaned it. I'm staying out of there for at least a week.
All right.
I don't want that damn thing.
Smart on your part.
And I'm not bringing it in here again. I'll tell you that much. I'm shivering cold and nauseous. So I'm going to turn around this time and go back home. I'm not going to come in here, wear a blanket, and throw up into the garbage pail. Let's go to Mark in South River. He wants to talk some Knicks this morning. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. What do you got for
us? What's happening, brother?
Let me tell you about the Knicks, Boomer. First of all, before I get to my Nick point, baseball players, they're sissies. I hate to tell you, they're sissies. But anyway, Boomer,
Yes.
We got two starters on injured reserve. Our bench, we have no bench. Zero. McBride and maybe one other guy, Payne, I think his name is.
Yes.
But Boomer, Mitchell Robinson and I always mispronounce his name.
OG Anunoby.
Yeah. When they come back,
OG's back. Hey, listen, OG's back. And by the way, when they played the Thunder, they were fully healthy, except for Mitchell Robinson.
But he's a big cog when it comes to Towns. Because now Towns has to be the power center pretty much. Mitchell Robinson, he plays a whole different role, which is going to open up.
Mark, I hope you're right. All I know is that the three best teams, the top tier teams in the league, the Knicks are 0-7 against. They could play against anybody else, but they're going to run into the Celtics in the second round. We know that.
I just think we need. I know he's only one guy, but this team has put so much into like six guys that the bench is brutal. So without him, we're not even going to have a chance. But when he comes back, I really think we'll have a chance. I hope.
Yeah, I mean,
lips to God's ears, man. I'd love it, but they have lost by 23 points, 10 points, 25 points, 27 points, 37 points, 13 points, and they're the one close game, the 6-point loss. They've given up in those seven games to those three teams 125 points per game.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson isn't going to come back and change all of that.
And most of those teams are hitting threes against them.
Yeah, what we said yesterday, a couple of things that stood out in that last Celtics game. They had 75 points on open shots. Open shots. A lot of those being three-pointers. You think that Mitchell Robinson is going to be out there defending the perimeter? Don't think so. And then also, you got two guys that are going to be out there that are the crux of your offensive success that are brutal defensive players. It's just the facts with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, Jalen's great, and we all love him to death. We think he's tremendous on the offensive zone, but I think his lack of height hurts him on defense. I'm not saying it's a lack of effort. I don't believe that. But, you know, if you really want to be truly a great, great point guard, you got to play both ends. You got to be able to get steals. Obviously, you have to have assists. You got to be able to score. He can do all that. I mean, like, that's what Walt Frazier did. Walt Frazier could play defense. Anytime you needed a steal, it seemed like at the crux of the game, for those of us who are old enough to remember what Walt used to do, he would make the key steal. He would somehow then create a three-point play for himself. Because there was no three-point shooting back then. And he would end up somehow getting somebody in the air. He'd lean into them, and he would hit the basket and then hit the free throw. He was amazing that way. And so that's why he was, not only a great point guard, but he shot well, he played defense, and always came up with a key steal or two, especially late in the game. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not Jalen's game. That part of it's not there.
Yeah, and then another big problem with this team is that Mikal Bridges has been just really disappointing, underwhelming as a player. He was supposed to come in here with all those first-round picks that the Knicks were hoarding for a long time. They finally found the guy that they wanted to use them on in a trade. And Mikal Bridges has come in and just been not the player I thought that we were getting. And he's been able to, be under the radar a little bit because there's so much focus on other things that are going on with the Knicks and Karl Anthony Towns. But if Mikal Bridges were the player that I think every Knicks fan thought that they were getting, you'd see a little bit different of a result in these games where they're getting their asses kicked.
Well, the other thing, too, you know, he's averaging almost 18 points a game. So he's also not a guy that's going to get a gazillion shots just simply because of all the other guys that are taking a gazillion shots. It's a weird thing, and I know that Karl Anthony Towns said after the Boston Massacre, another one, he basically said, we're still a work in progress. Those are his words, not mine.
Yeah, that's not good.
I don't know what exactly he's trying to say. I mean, they've played almost 50 games. So you would think that this work in progress is... Now, Boston's been together a hell of a lot longer, and they are a lot better, and they got two superstars that are legitimately defenders, scorers, rebounders, you name it, they can do it all. And very few teams have players that are as talented as Brown and Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, and they won at the highest level. And then neither one of them were in the Olympics afterwards. They didn't play.
Which is amazing to me.
I know.
It really was. Did you make anything about that LeBron not dapping up Jaylen Brown thing? Like, he went and gave everybody a hug in the All-Star locker room. You weren't here for this, but except Jaylen Brown. Like, he gave Jaylen Brown, like, a little bit of a pound. Everybody else, he, like, hugged.
Number one, I didn't watch it. Number two, I don't really care.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, very good. I'll remember that for the next time you bring up something I don't care about.